It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Welcome in, everyone. It has been a week. A week that I missed a lot of thanks to this horrible virus that's going around that I avoided for almost 3 years and got knocked down pretty hard. But I'm here for the great debate. I'm feeling mostly functional, but I have a built-in excuse already, just like Aaron Rodgers in the wind, that if I don't perform well, there it is. Welcome to Packer Outright Opinions, by the way. Come on. Nothing for my brother. No sympathy. No anything. All right.
Anyway, what? Let's just go. I don't know what's going on. You're in charge of this thing. I'm just here. Like, it's just, let's go.
I'm just here. We don't have all day. Of course we don't. But
we're known to be long-winded. So can we get going on what we're supposed to be going on here?
That's why this is so difficult for us, because it is a timed response debate led by the one and only Raider Rick, who's in the house. Raider Rick here to moderate and handle us once again for the great debate show from Hafman Bros. Raider Rick, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Jason. Hey, let's save the arguing for this debate. Let's keep it civil, gentlemen.
Okay.
There's going to be rules for this thing. Are you going to cover these rules, Jason, or should I tell you guys how it's going to go?
That's up to you. You tell us what to do, and we follow directions.
All right. So I'm going to ask each of you a question. We'll alternate which of you goes first. The first responder will have 2 minutes to make their case, after which point, your brother will have 1 minute to counter those points or agree with them, since, you know, you guys are kind of like-minded once in a while. There will be warnings. At 15 seconds, they'll give you a heads up that your time is running short. No, I didn't have tacos tonight. It's not me being gassy. This is the Hafman Brothers typical salute that'll give you a 15-second warning. And when you hit the zero mark on the clock, we've got a special treat from Jason that will announce the end of your time. So, let's try to keep it within the time frame. We're not tight clock here tonight. Evan will be running a tight ship as well. So you guys ready for the first question, or you got something else for us, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm ready, but quickly we'll say hi to Evan. Evan, thanks for being here. How are you tonight, my friend?
You're muted.
So good.
We get it. So good.
Yeah, Last week than you.
I like it.
I had no idea. You, Evan. I hate that I had to learn on the air about your affliction.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, hey, you had it too. You know what it's like. Anyway, we're all standing. We're all ready for the great debate. And
almost
Raider Rick
3 years, man. Almost 3 years. We almost made it.
I know. All right. Anyway, back at it. We'll take on Ben here. Rick, bring us, start us off with your questions. Who's first? I don't even know who's first.
All right. In a very highly sophisticated selection process, it's been determined by an independent panel that Jason will be answering the first question first.
Yes. That extra dollar I slipped to you really
That's
paid
right.
off. All right, let's
try not to spend it all in one place, but you know, Cheetos are expensive. All right, with that, Jason and Ben, this has certainly been a rough year for many Packer fans. You know, despite the losses that happened in the offseason, a lot of people still thought there was a pretty good chance that the Packers could have a pretty good year, maybe make a Super Bowl run, win another ring with Aaron. But in reality, it's been pretty rough. A lot of these groups that people had high aspirations for have not lived up to expectations. Which position group as a whole do you think has been most disappointing this season? Jason.
That is a rough one. There's one position group in particular that only basically one guy's played most of the time that I'd like to talk about. But really, when I look at it, it's the defensive unit. This defense was billed after the way it played last year with guys coming back. Maybe I should look at a smaller. Oh, should I go smaller here? Yeah. Let's look at smaller. In particular, the defensive backfield has been the biggest disappointment to this team for me this season. I'm going to even zone in more on that. See, I took it from the whole defense to defensive backfield. And I could go with the two S's, the guys that were supposed to be the starting solid safeties, would be the biggest disappointment on the whole team. That's pretty darn close. But I'm also going to throw Jair Alexander in there. And I'm going to throw, unfortunately, my guy Rasul Douglas in there a little bit. And I'm going to definitely throw Eric Stokes in there until he got hurt. But if you look at the Packers season, the way they have played on the defensive secondary, and if we didn't have Rudy Ford and Keyshawn Nixon, who have actually made a huge impact and difference with the way this secondary has played, come in and make it do some things, tackle some people, cause some turnovers, stop some people from getting yards, it would look even worse. So to me, that's the saddest part. This was Billsby supposed to be such a big, incredible season, especially for the secondary. And two guys off the street have been our two best players in that position group. And that, to me, is the most disappointing of the 2022 season so far.
All right. Ben, what do you have to say on this?
Well, he's not wrong about being very disappointed in the secondary. Mostly because my favorite guy, Rasul Douglas, is not quite the same guy as he was last year. He's not playing the same. He's not as aggressive. He's not, you know, he's kind of looks like there's sometimes where it appears he's not playing hard. But despite the fact that both safeties stink, Rasul's down here, Stokes is hit or miss, and we got a couple of guys here and there. We did have Rudy Ford, and we did have Keyshawn Nixon come in and do great jobs. So you're wrong. The biggest disappointment on this team, the position that's the biggest disappointment, is the position that's making the most money. $50 million a year. The guy is supposed to be the number one quarterback in the NFL. If you're making number one money, you should be ranked number one. Yet he's ranked number 26 in QBR, according to ESPN, with a 41.4 quarterback rating or QBR rating. Yeah, maybe his quarterback rating looks good, but that doesn't take into account individual plays, how accurate somebody is, whether they're reading things that are going on. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's the quarterback. Now, if Jordan Love had gotten in there when little Aaron Rodgers broke his thumb, then maybe it'd be different. But the biggest disappointment is the quarterback.
All right.
You're probably right. I was probably wrong.
So it won't let me play my audio warning, Jace. When I try to click the audio, it tells me that you've muted me.
Well, you know what, Rick? You've been overruled by, and you're supposed to be in charge of this whole thing. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there, but you continue on. What's our next question?
All right. I'll try the audio in a different way. All right, Ben. Knowing what we know now about the offensive productivity or lack thereof, do you think the Packers should have traded Devontae? What do you think of the aftermath of this trade at this point?
Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Matter of fact, not only should they have traded Devontae, which they did, they should also traded Aaron Rodgers. Should have traded both of them. And I said it back in January and February. And if we had done that, we'd have 1,000 million picks. And we'd have a bunch of young players looking good. By trading Devontae Adams, we were able to sign back Rasul Douglas, sign back Campbell, which is that wasn't exactly the greatest thing in the world. But we also were able to trade up, get Christian Watson, who's obviously a stud monster, and Quay Walker, pick 22, was because of Devontae Adams, who a lot of people have been giving crap to lately. But you know what? I think he's playing pretty darn good for a rookie middle linebacker who's got a lot of stuff thrown on his plate. So should we have traded Devontae Adams? Yes. Is Devontae Adams a good player? Yes. Does he have the ability to adjust when the ball's in the air? Yeah, he's really good at that. But Christian Watson has proven what speed and size can do that Devontae Adams has neither of. And therefore, yeah, trade him. Goodbye. It's only a shame that we didn't trade Rodgers as well.
All right. Jason, how do you feel on this topic?
Oh, same one. I have to agree, of course. I mean, the decision, I know a lot of people look at it. They looked at how the receiver production went early on. And even if you look at it right now, at each individual receiver, none of them are having a huge statistical season individually. But that's because there's been a lot of guys in and out. And Alan Lazard has highly underperformed. So they would think, oh my gosh, why did we train Devontae Adams, right? The fan base has been, and Adams has had a very nice season. Although he has 142 targets so far. So if you're saying he was still on our team and he'd have 142 of the targets to this point, no, that would not be good for this offense. And it would be the two-man ball again where everybody else on the offense is just standing around, doesn't know what's going on. That's no fun as an offensive player, and it's no fun for me as a fan. So I'm, yes, 100% for the money and for the fact that now we can incorporate a bunch of guys into the passing game and not just one guy. Yes, we should have traded Devontae Adams. It was the right move.
All right. So coming up on the break, let's do a lightning round here. You guys will get 45 seconds each to answer this. All right. What about the defensive side of the ball? What about letting Za'Darius Smith move on? A lot of people thought he was a key component of this defense. Defense hasn't been producing. Za'Darius has been lighting it up in Minnesota, at least some games. What do you think, Jason? Should they have hung on to Za'Darius? 45 seconds only.
Za'Darius Smith. Look, Za'Darius Smith is still Za'Darius Smith. He's the same guy that the Packers paid $11 million to go play in Minnesota. He has a total of zero. He was not on the score sheet from the whole last game against the Lions. Nothing. And I watched that whole game. And yeah, I was a little out of it because I was in COVID. But do you know what? They ran plays for him to make plays. A bunch of stunts. He got to line up on any offensive lineman he wanted. And he still recorded absolutely zero on the score sheet. No tackles. No sacks. No anything from Za'Darius Smith. He started out hot, and now he's Za'Darius Smith chilling and taking it easy and taking all the money. And he's doing that for the Vikings the rest of the year.
All right. Ben, what do you say?
Well, I think, it was interesting. I didn't even think about it. In a text earlier, you talked about should the Packers have traded Za'Darius Smith. And I was like, wow.
Oh, my mistake.
They probably should have, but I think they probably tried to. You know what I mean? But nobody wanted him. So they were forced to cut him and take an $11 million hit. I mean, listen, if you're willing to take an $11 million hit, it's the right move. The guy thought he was a captain and he wasn't. He got all butthurt. He sat out the entire season. The defense looked better without him when he was there on the team last year. And then when he came back and played a playoff game, he made one play in the first drive and then disappeared. So what's the point? Yeah, it was a good move to get rid of him. It's a shame that Gary got hurt. But let's face it, Enigbare coming in is doing great. Preston Smith is getting long in the tooth and it's kind of showing a little bit, but you never know. We might be able to get somebody in the draft coming up. And Za'Darius is just he's not a team player, and he's not a Packer anymore. He had one good year. That's it.
One quick follow-up before we go to break. There was also a ball that Jared Goff threw off a guy's helmet. It went straight up in the air. Za'Darius is standing a few feet from it. It lands next to him, and he has no idea there was a ball right next to him because he was going to get the quarterback.
We know that. We've shown video of that.
Least aware guy on the field. No, don't want him. Don't need him.
All right. Hey, before the break, just a word to your listeners. We will be taking suggestions for questions in the chat. So let you guys know. See you after the break.
We're back. Packer Outright Opinion Show here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, 1580 AM, rocketing in. My brain is starting to work once again from its shutdown recently here by COVID, but here we're back on the move and my brain's starting to click. You're also listening to us on WXCE and Amory, 1260 AM, maybe in WISS and Oshkosh, perhaps other radio stations, maybe in Richland Center too, I think, on the news from the center. Packer news from the center or debate from the center. That's where we live. Ben and I are in the center of all things Packers. And Raider Rick is here tonight moderating the debate show. Hafeman Bros debate show. When there's no game to talk about, we debate Packers stuff. Rick, back to the questions.
All right. Ben, this rookie class has been actually pretty impactful. Maybe that's in part because of the losses that were incurred in the offseason. So other than the Rocket Man, Christian Watson, which rookie do you think fans should be the most excited about?
My choice is by far Zach Tom. It's a tight one because I do think Kingsley and Igbari is doing some good stuff too. But he sometimes disappears. Where Zach Tom, when he's a game, there's no worries. I mean, he just locks it down. Whether it's left tackle, right tackle. A guard, you got to push around a little bit. And there are times when he can push around. But for the most part, he was a home run fourth round pick. And it's one of those things. I mean, David Bakhtiari is a fourth round pick too. So it's something about Packers and getting a fourth round pick. It's an offensive lineman. And he's just a solid, awesome guy who makes plays. He was able to sustain his blocks. He's smart. He can pick up the stunts. He's able to play center if they need him to. He's kind of going to be the Swiss Army knife that's going to probably take over for the season. And to be honest, I think he's good at the start right now. Matter of fact, he is in the top 31 of all offensive tackles in the NFL this season, according to PFF. That's his grade. His grade is in the top 31. Matter of fact, Bakhtiari, Yash, and Zach Tom are all in the top 31. So not only is he a fourth round rookie, he's already one of the, he's a top starter. And there's 64 starters because there's 32 teams. So not only is he a top starter, he's a top starter. He's in the upper echelon of tackles in the NFL. So Zach Tom is the guy everybody should be excited about. I know it's not sexy to say offensive lineman, but let me tell you, when he's out there, it looks sexy.
All right, Jason, what about you? Who do you think fans should be most excited about from this rookie class?
I want to go back to Ben really quick. Hey, Ben, can you tell me, I'll use a little of my time for this. Can you say that again? Did you say Yash was in the top 30-something of offensive tackles?
Yeah. He's Yash, graded in the top 31, but he's, the I think guy he's that the 30, I, said, I think he's at 31.
Okay. Well, I think the guy Zach that Tom I said was the top 10 offensive lineman last year, and everybody gave me crap for, is actually...
Top 31 is not top
okay,
10.
Well, okay. All right, back to the rookies. For me, it's clearly the first-round pick, Quay Walker. The guy has 100 tackles. He tackles all things. He's very fast. He breaks up passes. He's picked up fumbles. He's been around the ball. When no one else wants to tackle, he'll go tackle the guy. Like, it's different, right? It just looks different. And if you would pair him more with Chris Barnes instead of Devondre Campbell, that inside linebacker group would look a lot more effective against the run and the pass. So I know we paid Devondre Campbell money. Get him off the field. Chris Barnes next to rookie Quay Walker. And you got a good pairing right there.
All right. That's, I think, a couple of guys that I agree. Fans should be excited about these guys. Seems like a good future for the Packers. Speaking of the future of the Packers, first segment we talked about guys that were lost. What should the Packers do with Elgin Jenkins? Some people would say they can't afford him. Other people would say they can't afford to lose him. As the offensive line specialist, Jason, how would you make this decision?
This is a tough one, to be honest, because Jenkins, as we have 3 minutes left here, Rick, just a heads up, Elgin Jenkins was highly underperforming last season. I was not very impressed with him last season. Now I know he played a lot of tackle and he played all over the place. Early in his career, he just looked different. As a rookie, he came in, was really good at left guard. Second year, really good at left guard. Third year, they seemed to think, oh, we can move him anywhere we want. And he wasn't a guy that should be moved anywhere. He was a guy that should play left guard. Okay. And then the Packers came into this preseason and said, we don't have a right tackle. Jenkins is our right tackle. We'll be fine there once he gets back from his injury and all that stuff. And we saw him at right tackle, and he was not good. He was not good. Not just not okay. He wasn't good at all. Not even acceptable. And then they finally figured out if we put him back at guard, he might be okay again. And now he's getting more and more comfortable at guard and actually playing really, really well. So it's a difficult thing, because he's going to probably command a lot of money. They don't have a lot of money. Also, he's been kind of inconsistent at spots other than that spot. So is he as valuable? Can he be moved everywhere you need him to be moved? If you need that kind of thing on the Packers O-line that they love to do, or are they willing to accept him as a guard? And if they're willing to accept him as a guard and pay him a little less as a guard, then yes. But if he wants big money because he thinks he can play anywhere on the offensive line and his agent thinks that, and the Chicago Bears or whatever are going to give him a bunch of money, well, see you later, Elgin Jenkins. We'll have to get somebody else.
All right, Ben, how do you feel? Should they keep Elgin?
You know, this is tough because I do think he's a good player. I think he's a good guy. The thing that's the most interesting to me is we've seen the Packers move on from guards before that were good players. And there always seems to be able to be able to find another guy who can do it. And there's probably going to be guys in the draft they can get. Heck, there's guys on the team right now. Maybe Sean Ryan turns into something. But finding another guard who, to be honest with you, I don't think he's even a top 10 guard in the NFL. But he's going to be probably paid like a top 10 guard in the NFL this offseason. So there's no reason for the Packers to keep him. they'll get a compensatory pick when they let him go in free agency. They'll get a third round pick for him. So I think that's what they have to do. Let him go, find somebody else to replace him, and get use that money in other places on the team. It's sad, but that's what they have to do.
All right. I agree. Might be a tough one to swallow, but I'm not sure how they'll be able to pull it off and keep some of these other pieces together. All right, welcome back to an extra special edition of Hafeman Brothers Packer Outright Opinions. This is the annual debate show. So, Jason, we got a question from the chat. David, one of the longtime listeners, is wondering, is it just him, or does Jordan Love look more natural running this Matt LaFleur offense? I'll give it to you, Jason. What do you think about this?
I mean, I'm assuming, David, you're talking about when he got in the Philadelphia game and started running the actual Matt LaFleur plays and not running the clock down all the time and not trying to adjust everything before the snap and all of that and just actually throw the ball on time as soon as he hit his back foot. Yeah. Yeah, I saw it too. I think all the Packer fans saw it. And we thought, an offense could be run like this? You mean we don't have to run the play clock down every single time to try to figure out what the other side's going to do? And then they know we're going to do that, so they change on us so it doesn't actually work, except just waste more time? You want to talk about how few plays the Packers are running this season? That's part of the reason why. They waste so much time. Oh, my God. And then also, when you don't throw the ball, when you hit your back foot, you take sacks or the play doesn't work. And then you got to make crazy plays and run around and do stuff and try to make a play when you could have just made the easy play. And that's what Jordan Love did. Played on time, played on rhythm, made good throws, made the easy play. Yes, Jordan Love looked really comfortable because he was running the actual offense.
Right, Ben. What do you think?
Well, the interesting thing is when you compare it. Excuse me. That's what I think about that. But when you compare it to the Kansas City game last year, and he was actually running the Aaron Rodgers version.
Yes.
And there were a lot of passes to the sidelines, 15, 20 yards downfield, passes that were to Davante Adams over and over again. And yeah, there are things that Davante and Aaron Rodgers have like telepathic connection on that Jordan Love and Davante Adams didn't have. And it was not the offense that Matt LaFleur runs or wants to run. It was the weird Aaron Rodgers thing, and it didn't work out right. But when you saw him in the Eagles game, he was in rhythm. And he read the defense. And he read the defense the first time and didn't throw the ball and threw it in the flat to his outlook pass. And then the next time he read the corner, jumping the route, and threw to Aaron Jones deep. And of course, Aaron Jones dropped it. But it was adjustments. He was very good in the pocket. He was able to move and buy some time and get out of the pockets to throw deeper down the field. Now, some of those weren't completed passes. But it showed his pocket awareness. It showed his ability to read the defense after the snap and go to the right guy at the right. So, yeah, he looked great, and it's a shame, to be quite honest, that he wasn't able to play more.
All right. So, Ben, if you were Jordan Love, I mean, there's been rumors circulating that Love says he wants to be traded this year if they're going to stick with Rodgers. If you were Jordan Love, would you want to be traded, or would you be willing to bide your time even longer riding the bench behind Rodgers?
Here's the thing I would say. It depends. I'm not in the room, so I don't know what his relationship is with Matt LaFleur. I don't know what his relationship is with his teammates. I do know this much. If he stays there, he spends another offseason with all the guys and works with them, and Rodgers isn't there again, I think he deserves, and he should take the ownership that it's his team, and he should take over the team and be a leader on the team, even if Rodgers comes back. And if he does it and shows the team that he can do it, and that he can run the team and run the offense and be a true leader, then why should he give that up and demand a trade just because Rodgers is being a whiny baby and won't retire? I mean, you're going to get paid either way. And sometimes that wasn't me. Sometimes it's nice to be a backup and get paid and then know that in the future, he's going to get a nice big contract. And the Packers know what they have. Plus, they've already best first round pick in him, and he sat for 4 years and done nothing. So because of that, we really, really need him to stay. So I hope he does not want to trade. I hope he wants to stay, even if Rodgers comes back.
All right, Jason.
That's, I hate that thing. That's dumb. We didn't do it the first three segments, and now because I'm talking, now I have to listen to dumb act like
an idiot. I did it. I was just muted.
No, I know you did. No, I know you did it, but I know who the voice was.
All whatever. Right, Jason.
I was Adam Sandler's gift to Hapen Bros, our show.
Yeah.
Thank you. What's up, Rick? What do we got here?
I was going to say, if you were Brother Love, what would you do? Would you be content being a backup again, or would you want an opportunity somewhere else?
I mean, I totally get it. I totally get where Jordan Love's coming from. And I think you've seen it in comments. You saw it in comments that he made after the Philly game. And before there, you know, there's question, would he get to start the next week or would Rodgers come back? And he kind of said a couple of things. If you read between the lines, you could tell the guy wants to play. And I think what's different is I think the Packers weren't sure about him coming into this season. And now they are. Now they are. He's made big leaps, big jumps. He's got all this practice time. But I think it's up to, ultimately, does he want to be on this team for his career? Does he want to play with Christian Watson? Does he want to play with Romeo Doubs? Does he want to play with this young stable of guys and what the Packers have going here, young offensive linemen that are coming along? And if the answer to that is yes, then he's got to tough it out and figure it out. My hope, my wish would be that Matt LaFleur would be like Mike McCarthy and stand up to Rodgers the way McCarthy stood up to Favre.
There we go. That's an immediate stop. Now, I'm no moderator. Follow the rules, boys. You got to follow the rules. I'm scolding
Unfortunately,
you.
I don't see that coming.
Well said, Evan. If only I had producer power. All right.
Well, I don't have muting authority, so you got to control yourself, brother number two.
It's always me. Okay, Rick, what do you got here?
Let's change it up. Let's get back to the defensive side of the ball. I think just about everybody who knows anything this year would agree that the defense has not come anywhere close to the expectations that people had for them. Why do you think the primary reason is that the defense has been playing so poorly, Jason?
Defense playing so poorly. That is the weirdest thing. That's the hardest question to answer because, one, it appears that the defensive coaching does not want the players to be aggressive. But then on the other side, it appears a bunch of these players do not play aggressively. So I am perplexed by this defense. My answer has to be that the coaches are asking them to not take chances because they want to just play back and let the other team screw up, which the Packers have won a bunch of games over the years by taking that approach, by playing soft, don't give up the big play and let the other team screw up. And it's worked in the regular season, but it doesn't get you postseason wins. And this season, it's not even getting you regular season wins. I'd rather see them play aggressive, but I think that's it.
All right, Ben, what do you think?
You're wrong. The problem is the money. The money in Campbell, the money in Clark, the money in Jair Alexander, the Preston Smith, the money in Adrian Amos,
oof,
first round picks, Savage, Stokes, even Gary at times. They don't match the pay. If you have a guy who gets paid this amount of money, he should be playing as if he's making there's a reason he's making that much money. And those guys aren't doing it. They're not playmakers. Jair is afraid to tackle anybody. Everybody complains. If I hear one more thing about the defensive line sucks because the run defense is so bad, watch the film. Our corners and our safeties don't want to tackle anybody unless they're Rasul or Nixon or Ford. At least those three guys come in and try to do something. But when Jair just stands there and backs off to do anything, that's a problem. And that's the real reason. Our high-paced guy, our high-priced defensive players are not living up to their paycheck. And it's forced. And no, don't get me wrong. The defensive strategy is probably bad, too. But players play on the field. Yep. So if they suck, you can't do anything about it.
Wow. That was quite a meltdown. All right, Ben, sticking with this theme, it seems like the coaches, like pretty much everything with the team, there's been multiple instances this year where there's just been the stubbornness and a reluctance to change anything. They just stick with things that aren't working no matter how many times it's failed. What do you think was the most egregious? What's been the most destructive example of this stubbornness by the coaching staff to make changes?
Rick, there's too many to pick one. There's too many.
Pick your favorite.
I can't. The biggest thing...
Pick your least favorite.
My least favorite is... I can't think of one. They're all terrible. I'm sorry. Every single thing. I'll just name them all. Royce Newman. Why? Savage. Why? When you have Ford on the team and he's proven he's good. Why is Amari Rodgers still returning punts for as long as he did when you could put anybody else back there who looks more like he has a set of, you know, what's that actually wants to catch the ball and make a play? Those are the biggest things. You can't change the fact that guys can't tackle, right, on defense. And then on offense, wait, you know what the biggest problem is? I'll tell you what it is. The fact that you let your quarterback tell you what you're going to run. That's the biggest problem with the coaches. They don't stand up to the quarterback and run the offense like they should. They run the Aaron Rodgers offense with players who can't run the Aaron Rodgers offense because they can't win their one-on-one matchups. So that's the biggest problem. The quarterback is a diva baby, and he's ruined the entire team.
Ghostbusters shutdown alarm works every time.
Did something happen with the lights, too?
Well, everyone,
Jason,
they're just turning the lights off on
me. The worst example of this.
Man, my examples, Ben said a bunch of them. The most egregious to me, the absolute worst. Oh my God. So hard because it's like a tie between the Savage situation and the Royce Newman and Jenkins situation. But I'm going to go back. Darnell Savage has been terrible. Everybody, you have 4 years of tape on this guy. 4 years, almost. You had 3 years coming in. And it went downhill. Like, his best year was his rookie year, probably. And that wasn't even that good. He didn't get better. He got worse. You watched him time and time again. Not attack. Not make tackles. Not be impactful from a safety spot where you need to make plays. And even though the Roy situation was so horrible and he was so terrible and you took forever to replace him and it was really, 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 really bad, the Darnell Savage one was even worse. Even worse because you saw it time and time again. Those guys watched the film. I'm sure if Rasul Douglas is watching that film, like, what? He's like, why is this guy in here, man? Why is this guy in the field?
I agree with a lot of that. And given how late in the season this is, do you think it's too late for the Packers to still have a chance? Do you think it's possible that they can still turn it around and have a legitimate shot at the playoffs this season? Jason?
Absolutely not. It's working out just the way I said. The Packers, woo, it's all coming together. It's all coming together, guys. The Seahawks lost again last night. You need the Seahawks to lose. You need the Giants to lose. And they're both going to lose, and they're both falling apart. They have rough schedules at the end of the season. So those two teams are going to be out. So now you have the Commanders and the Lions, and you get to play the Lions the last week. So all you need is a little Commander slip-up, which they've done plenty of times over the years, and the Packers can find their way into the playoffs by winning out. Right here. So hope is not lost. There is a chance, and it's a better chance than you think. And I said it weeks ago whenever I thought it was crazy. Now more people think I'm only a little crazy for saying it.
Ben, what do you think? You look a little skeptical.
It's not skeptical. It's just basic knowledge. What the crap are you talking about? This team could, the best they could do was win, I think it was 3 games in a row at the beginning of the year. You think they're going to win 5 games in a row? The Bears game and then these last 4? The only thing that they put a streak together is when they lost 5 in a row. So, no. They still have to win all those games. There's no chance. And even if they do, who cares? The biggest question is, why would you want them to make the playoffs? Why? So you can watch them get their butts kicked in the playoffs? 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 No. Nobody wants that. That's the... No. No chance. Matter of fact, I hope they lose some games with Rodgers sucking up the joint so that we actually get a better draft pick. The worst would be that they win all these games and then not make the playoffs and get picked 16 or some crap like that. Let's can we at least get a top 10 pick? Have Rodgers lose some games and play like dog crap?
I want to see Lions, Packers, winner gets in the playoffs, week 18. That's what I want to see.
It'll be, if you want to see that, it'll be the Lions. That's what you'll see.
All right. Back for the final installment of this year's Hafeman Brothers Packer Outright Opinions Great Debate Show. So, let's been having a little
easy
negative,
for you to say. Nice.
Easy for me to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's try to put a positive spin on this. Let's look at some positive things. Okay. For the second year in a row now, Aaron Jones is the Packers nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. So, Ben, why don't you tell us why Aaron Jones deserves to win this award? It's really the only good guy award that the NFL gives out each year. Why should Aaron Jones take home this award?
Because he's been nothing but the man of the year every year he's been in town. He's the most likable, nice, caring, respectful young man that I can remember. He's always, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. He always listens to authority. He's always there for his teammates. Whenever whether it was Jamal Williams or A.J. Dillon, if they score a touchdown, who's the first guy jumping out and celebrating with them? It's Aaron Jones. And because he's the way he is, that also makes those guys his buddies too. But also even more importantly is his stuff he does in the community. He tries to give back. He was raised properly by his parents and his grandparents and everybody else when his parents were off overseas. And the fact that he stuck with the Packers, and the Packers stuck with him. He took less money to be here because he wanted to remain a Packer, and he should have won it last year. And if he doesn't win it this year, it's a travesty because he is always the man of the year.
Jason, you got anything to add to that?
I do. I agree with everything Ben said, and it's all accurate and 100%. Aaron Jones is the epitome of the guy you'd want to be a Green Bay Packer. He is the perfect Green Bay Packer that all fans would want to have. Represents the organization so well, represents himself well. And he did deserve it last year. But he's also had some really difficult life experiences. His dad died. His dad died at a very young age after COVID complications. All right? That happened in the last year. Also, as I look back at the award, which was originally started in 1969, it wasn't always called the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Bart Starr won it the very first year. Bart Starr in 1969. The only Packer that has won it since then is Jim Flanagan won it with somebody else. It was a slash win with another guy, and Jim Flanagan was only on the Packers that one season. So really, the only Packer that's won the award is Bart Starr, and no one's really won it since then. It's time for a Packer to win the award, and Aaron Jones is that Packer.
All right. Well, it certainly sounds like he's deserving. All right, Jason, I think a lot of people would say that special teams has been nothing but a liability for this team in the last several seasons. They've shown some signs of life. Do you think that special teams is still a liability for this team, or are they moving in the right direction finally?
I mean, the biggest issue right now with special teams, or I would say the area that's lacking a little bit, are the old kickers. You know, Mason Crosby, they're saying he's getting a little bit better, whatever, but he still doesn't hit the end zone most of the time. He has the lowest end zone percentage on kickoffs of any kicker in the league, yet they still let him kick off. That goes back to another stubborn coaching problem. There's got to be somebody that can kick it farther than that. I don't care who it is. And Pat O'Donnell started out the year great, but he's kind of been not so good lately either. Seems as the weather's gotten colder, his punts are getting shorter. But the areas that they struggled so much in the previous seasons, they're actually turned around substantially. The returns are much better. Now, part of that is they put Keyshawn Nixon in there, and that guy's got no fear, and he'll just attack it and go. So part of it is the returner, but I feel like they've had some schematic changes that have been pointed out where they'll double team and attack a weak spot in the coverage to allow a guy to attack that spot as the returner, whereas before it seemed like they just run down, try to block people, not really block them. So I think there's been turnarounds in the return game and the coverage game, but the kickers are a little bit lacking.
Ben, what's your take on it? Special teams moving up, moving down?
Here's the problem. It is improved. That's not saying much. But the other big problem is this. A lot of the reasons why it's improved is because we've had aggressive players that have been signed to the team this just for this season on one-year contracts. Are these guys going to be back next year? Because those are the reasons why the special teams has improved. Rudy Ford, Nixon, Dallin Leavitt, Wilson, linebacker. Like, these are guys who are proven special teams players who are aggressive and make plays. And they're all one-year contracts, so there's no guarantee they're going to be here next year. So as it doesn't matter how improved they get, because I don't know, unless they sign them all back next year and then get more guys that are good, it's not going to matter. So I don't know. I'm sorry I'm so down in the dumps on my opinion here, but I don't think it's really that big of a difference unless the Packers can somehow get more aggressive players and coach them better. And hopefully, you know, Rich Bisaccia is able to somehow breathe some aggressiveness in other guys besides those four guys.
I think that's a fair take. You know, at least the team is making some sort of effort to try to improve, it looks like, instead of just leaving it to be an afterthought like in years past. And just taking off in that direction, got a question from Lee in the chat wondering what you guys think about the team's approach to management, the way they seem to just stick with the way things have always been done versus let's take things in a new direction. Let's give this team a new look, a new identity. What do you think? Let's go with Ben. Ben, what do you think about the team sticking with their old ways or developing a new Packer way?
Here's the problem, Lee, listening. Brian Gutekunst had a plan. He had a plan in 2020 to turn the page, to do what Packers have done in the past. Build for the future. He does that a lot. This draft has been good this year. Aaron Rodgers changed that plan when he took over the team. So it doesn't matter what they do. If they could stick to their old ways and bring guys back and do things like that, then it would be great. But as long as you got a diva quarterback on your team, he runs the roost. And he's single-handedly teared apart the Packers team from within. So it doesn't matter what they do.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
This is the final question I get to answer. What's your approach to management, sticking to the ways we've done things versus the doing things maybe new, maybe in the future? Look, man, there's got to be changes. And I think this is the offseason to do it. The Packers need to, they said they're going to sit down with Aaron Rodgers. They're going to have this conversation with him. This conversation needs to be, Aaron, we now believe in Jordan Love. We're moving on. Do you want to retire? Or do you want to force us to cause a big scene like Brett Favre did and force us to get rid of you? Either way, you out, Aaron Rodgers. We're moving on. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Evan. This is the end of the show. Thank you for listening. If you're with us on YouTube, though, there's some bonus stuff coming up. So check us out, Hafen Bros on YouTube.